It's a classic joke setup. Why did the chicken cross the road? Well, apparently the chicken didn't just cross the road, it crossed the planet. More than 2 billion chickens worth. Chickens outnumber cats, dogs, pigs, cows, rats, and us. They reside in every country but one and on every continent but one. Rebecca Shear talked to Andrew Lawler, author of Why Did the Chicken Cross the World? The Epic Saga of the Bird That Powers Civilization.
Hi there, Andrew. Good to talk with you.
Hi, Rebecca. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, so Andrew, before we get into the history of the chicken, something you mentioned in your book, which I think people will find pretty fascinating, there is just one country and just one continent that does not have any chicken. What is the country? What is the continent?
Antarctica is the only continent that doesn't have live chickens. Now, they do serve wings at places like the Amundsen Scott Station at the South Pole, but live poultry are forbidden because there's great concern that chicken diseases could spread to penguins. So that's the only place where chickens are forbidden. Vatican City is the only country that I could find in the world that doesn't have a chicken coop. It's just too small, and I believe that Pope Francis gets his chickens, because he likes skinless chicken breast for his meals, from the markets of Rome.
One of the surprising things you bring up in your writing is that at first, chickens were not domesticated to eat. That's only happened in, like, the last century. So what were some of the things they were used for before that?
Well, chickens, you would think, were domesticated for meat and eggs. But in fact, a lot of anthropologists today believe that the chicken was first domesticated for religious purposes and mainly for cockfighting. Cockfighting, like bullfighting, was originally a religious ritual that was performed between, say, two villages or two groups, two clans. And in the end, cockfighting became a very secular activity. But in ancient times, it was really for religious purposes.
So what made the switch from religious purposes to, you know, dinner?
Well, people realized that there were many ways that you could use the chicken for everything from using its bones to sew sails, for example. The Polynesians did that. Or for tattooing, the Polynesians used the chicken for that purpose as well. As well as, of course, for medicinal purposes. The ancient Romans had lists of dozens and dozens of ways in which you could use the chicken to cure everything from bedwetting to insomnia.
Is it proven that chicken soup can cure the common cold?
It is. Your grandmother was right. Yes, a researcher who actually used his wife's grandmother's recipe discovered that if you feed boiling water to people with a cold versus chicken soup, the people with chicken soup actually get better faster. And now we know that there are certain elements in chicken meat which combine to ameliorate the symptoms of the common cold. But that's just one way in which the chicken can be used for medicinal purposes. For example, if you had a flu shot this season, that flu shot was made from chicken eggs.
Well, taking a look at the modern chicken we have today, I understand that Queen Victoria is the one who was responsible for that?
If you're to pinpoint one person who was most responsible for the modern chicken, it would be Queen Victoria. Back in the 1840s, she received a gift of several chickens from China. China at the time had been closed to the West. It was opened by force by the British. And one of the benefits of this was that the British got Chinese chickens. And Queen Victoria was so entranced with these beautiful birds. Now, keep in mind that at that time, English chickens were very small and scrawny and quite ornery, actually. But these Chinese chickens, by contrast, were incredibly large. They were very regal. They were very gentle. So the queen began to collect these chickens, and her court followed suit. And soon, particularly women all across the British Isles were paying large sums of money to collect these exotic-looking chickens. And this spread to the United States by the 1840s and 50s.
Now, the chicken that we eat in America today, how does that compare with the chicken that's eaten overseas?
Well, the chicken that we have today in America, 99% of the chickens that you can buy, whether it's in a McDonald's or an expensive restaurant or in Whole Foods or in some other supermarket, they all descend from the Chicken of Tomorrow contest. The modern chicken is actually a product of American science and engineering following World War II. So in about around 1950, the industry got together and they created this chicken, which has breasts large enough to be carved up into steaks and which can be fed a small amount of grain and produce large amounts of meat. This was a revolution because prior to World War II, chickens were actually fairly expensive and most Americans preferred pork and beef.
Wow. Chicken of tomorrow.
The Chicken of Tomorrow contest. So most of the chicken that you can buy in the United States today descends directly from that contest. And as a result, the chicken that we have has large breasts and grows very quickly. But the downside is that it is often very dry and tasteless compared with chickens in other parts of the world. For example, I went to Vietnam to track the red jungle fowl, which is the original chicken, the wild bird. And while I was there, I visited several villages and ate a lot of the local chicken. And that chicken tasted radically different from what we get in the United States. It often was much moister, often quite oily to my taste, but it was considered a great delicacy there.
Andrew Lawler, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
I've enjoyed it. Thanks so much.
Andrew Lawler is author of Why Did the Chicken Cross the World? Rebecca Shear is host of WAMU's Metro Connection in Washington, D.C. Now, for one of our favorite global chicken recipes, head to splendidtable.org and take a look at Filipino-style adobo. It's simple and, oh boy, is it good. And while you're there, be sure to register for our monthly book giveaway. Check it all out. It's at splendidtable.org.